And we're back. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest running, most respected money show on radio. I'm Matt Hames here with Charlie Holloway, Troy Harmon, answering your questions. Talking about Troy's tattoos. Or lack thereof. Yeah. In your defense, or lack thereof, well, right?
I guess it just leaves a bit of a mystery, doesn't it?
Yeah. Does he have tattoos? Yeah. Does he not? He has a mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
might even
does.
Have some
That's
back
right.
hair. Who knows?
Okay. On that note, wow.
I was just trying to get you to move along.
Wow. Well, let's pick up this case study a little bit here, Troy, and think about Franklin's situation. So we do these case studies often on the air, and we talk about a situation that is not entirely uncommon, although some of them may seem a bit off the wall at times. These things do come up, and they're realities that people deal with, and we think it's valuable to kind of tell their story a little bit on the air and talk through the way we think about giving advice. So in this one this week, we've got Franklin. He's divorced, obviously single. He's 50 years old, and he... he's got a good income, and he's planning to work well into his 60s. His daughter, Belinda, is a single mother, and he's got a significant amount of money. The bulk of his wealth is tied up in his SEP IRA. To the tune, in this case, in the example, it's about $2 million that he's got in his SEP IRA, and he'd like to transition to part-time so he can actually start to homeschool his granddaughter in about 4 years. So... how does he get at this money? He's 50 years old. So obviously, anytime you're talking about qualified money in an IRA, Charlie, I mean, at 59 and a half is the magic number, right? I mean, if you're not 59
right.
and a half.
The
SEP right.
is what for self-employed persons, is that right?
Well, typically. I mean, you usually see them in a individual-owned business with few to no employees.
Oh, okay.
Just right. because the way the contributions work. You know, it's all employer-based contributions, so it's typically a single business owner
sure.
entity, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's got about $2 million in a SEP IRA, so he's been funding that aggressively for many years. He also has about $186,000 in a savings account, so that is accessible money that he could lean on at that time. But, you know, we always like to see some individuals have some form of a emergency reserve in place,
sure.
you know, just for those unforeseen expenses that come up that's, you know, not subject to taxes. On his spending side of the ledger, you know, he's got a mortgage payment, you know, all the typical household expenses, insurance, you know, HOA fees, food and entertainment. You know, he's got about a $12,000 per month lifestyle inclusive of the mortgage payment.
Yep,
so he's spending at a pretty good clip too.
Yep.
You know, so when we look at this, we say, well, yeah, you know, like you said, Matt, how's Franklin going to access this money in the most efficient way possible?
Yep.
So we're not going to really avoid taxes. I mean, we know that.
Sure.
If we're going to pull money from the SEP, we know we're going to have to pay taxes. But is there any way we can avoid that 10% penalty? Because
yep.
that's the real damage that's caused for anyone who accesses a, you know, retirement account, whether it's a traditional IRA, a SEP IRA, a 401k before they retire is
459 and a half.
They take 10% off the top, and then they hit you with the taxes on the whole gross amount. So
yeah.
you can lose 40% of your distribution.
Well, the
just
rule
like
of thumb,
that.
I know. I mean, the way I always think about it, and I've told people before, very imprecise. It's not the right calculation, but it winds up almost costing you half.
Yeah,
I mean, roughly, it's going to come down to that.
Yeah, and for him and his tax bracket, because he's making about $250,000 a year, so he's in a pretty high tax bracket as a single filer.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he's going to really get eaten up if he goes that route. So he's looking 4 years out at wanting to scale back his work
mm-hmm.
and then pick up the homeschooling for his granddaughter. So he does have an option where he could convert some of the money from the SEP to a Roth IRA, and we'll walk through how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would give him the ability, starting 5 years out, to start pulling money out of that.
Yeah, so because when you put money into a Roth or you convert, in this case, from the SEP to the Roth, any balances, the 59 and a half is not on the table as much
right.
anymore.
Yeah,
right?
So, I mean,
it's about a 5 year wait to access the money you got in the Roth.
Right. So Roths are a lot more flexible
mm-hmm.
than the pre-tax deferral retirement vehicles like IRAs and SEP IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
the way the rules work with Roths are anything that you contribute to a Roth. So if you just go make your typical annual, you know, $5,500 contribution, you can always pull that back out penalty and tax free, you know, the very next year. He makes too much money, and he probably has for many years to have ever contributed to a Roth. Therefore, he has no Roth account that he's built up. Mm-hmm. After that, if you have a Roth that you have converted, so you had an IRA, or in his case, a SEP, and you convert some of those dollars to a Roth and pay the tax, mm-hmm. which you can do anytime, any amount. There used to be some rules that limited that to individuals. You know, if you made more than $100,000, you couldn't do that. But in 2010, that rule went off the books. So here now for 5 years, anybody can convert. And a lot of our clients, we've seen them do that.
Yep.
Then on the converted piece, you've got to wait 5 years. You got to leave it in that Roth for 5 years. But then you can access that penalty free.
Okay.
The converted piece. Now, then there's the third component, which is the earnings. So whether it's the earnings on dollars you had contributed at one point or converted, you don't ever want to touch those. Those sure. would get hit typically with the penalty
and the tax.
Yeah. So his option and one way he can go about this is to start converting, you know, an amount per year that he thinks he'll need to supplement his income, which you know, we can kind of get into some of the details maybe in the next segment mm-hmm. about what his budget looks like now versus once he's working part-time. And then he can just do that each year between now and when he retires. So by the time he's working part-time and homeschooling his granddaughter, he'll have those converted dollars from now, but we're 5 years into the future. Those now are available to him to pull out and
now,
spend.
Is the advice still generally on a Roth conversion, typically, that the best thing to do is to convert a dollar amount mm-hmm. that you can afford to pay the tax bill, because you're going to pay ordinary income tax on what you convert.
Right.
That you can afford to pay the taxes out of pocket, not from the IRA proceeds, right?
Yes, and so luckily he's got that savings account.
He can use that to
pay most or all of the taxes between now and when he's, you know, it finishes this strategy.
Yeah, so that comes up a lot in figuring out, well, how much each year should we convert? Well, don't convert more than you can afford to pay the taxes on out of pocket, because you don't want to go into that balance to cover tax bills. So just another thought on Roth conversion. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take another break here, and when we come back, let's answer a few questions. Troy, I know we've got one in here from good friend Ed Kelly has sent us in a good question here.
Sure.
We're gonna respond to about our criteria and how we think about picking stocks.
Sure.
So we'll be right back. You're listening to Money Talks. Don't touch that dial.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.